Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Heyman Aleph, three lines down. Rami Rish Lakish Al Melhuhi Beit Medrasha Umakshe. Rish Lakish was lying on his stomach in the Beit Midrash and then asked the following question as to the description of his position. We have no indications as to why that was important, what the meaning was. But he was laying on his stomach and then asked the following question. Im Ksherim Heim, year two. I don't understand what's happening here with regards to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah tells you that if you bring the Korban, Shlo Lishma, Shinui Kodesh, then it is a Kasher Korban, Ala Shlo Alu Lishem Chova. That doesn't take care of the obligation or discharge the obligation of the Baalim. He says, Im Ksherim Heim, if the Korban is fine, Yirtzu, then they should take care of the Baalim. It should be a fine Korban through and through. And if they are not successful at producing the ritzui, meaning take care of the balim, lama bayin, then why do we bother bringing them? Meaning that if the requirement to bring them in the shema is l'rak l'chatchila, then if b'diavad they're ksherim, they should also be miratzim. Because by definition, if that's only a requirement l'chatchila, it shouldn't ruin the korban, because b'diavad it does work. If it does work, not only should it be a kosher korban, it should be a korban that is miratzim. So Rashi already here notes that Rish Lakish is unaware of the pasuk Motza Svatecha, which the Gemara brought earlier. That's what teaches us that you have a neder, and then you have a nidava, and a failed neder turns into a nidava. So Rish Lakish doesn't have that. He himself will come to that pasuk and come to that conclusion later on. But he's asking that fundamental question as to, if you believe something is kasher, it should be kasher through and through. Something's not kasher, then why bother bringing the korban? What's the purpose of bringing a korban if it's not going to help or it's not going to be miratzeh? So Amar lo Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar being the Talmid Chover of Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Elazar says to Reish Lakish, Matzinu b'bain l'achar mita she'en ksherim ve'en miratzim. We have korbanot that are brought after the death of an individual, whereby they're brought but they have no impact on the individual. Rashi over here says, because Ein kapara l'metim. There's no such thing as kapara for those that pass away. It's interesting conceptually because we believe that you can create a zchut for the mate or that you could do something that is for an aliyat neshama. But what I think we're speaking about here is more directly kapara. What you can't provide is atonement. And ritzoy or kapara is what you can't create through a korban posthumously. And therefore, bringing a korban on behalf of an individual doesn't make so much sense. If it's not Aisha Shevia Chatata Umeita, a woman who brought already her chatat and then passed away, Yavil Yoshim Olata. Then the Yoshim, her inheritors, bring the Ola. The case is a case where she already separated out her korbanot. The truth is that this could be a case of any situation in which someone is chayav to bring a chatat and an Ola. So that's true of a woman when she gives birth, which seems to be the case that we're speaking about here, that she's chayavet to bring an ola and a chatat after she's given birth. But it's true of a, as we read in last week's parsha, zavah gedola. It's true of a zav. It's true of a mitzora. It's true of a menazir. There are a number of individuals who bring these korbanot. And the cases where they designated the korbanot before they passed away. If they've yet to designate the korbanot, there's nothing to speak about once they passed away. There's no obligation anymore. But here they separated out the korbanot before they passed away and then passed away. She had already brought her chatat. And then the Ola is sitting there. So the Yoshim bring that Ola on her behalf. Ola ta, on the other hand, if she brought her Ola, Umeita, and then she passed away, Lo yaviu Yoshim chatata. Her inheritors don't bring the chatat. So here the difference being that an Ola can be brought as a nidava or as a voluntary offering. Chatat can only be brought for the particular individual who requires the chatat. And we have a principle, chatat, shemeitu ba'aleha, that a chatat whose owner has passed away, or the one who is seeking the kapara passes away, is lemita. It is then sent to its death. It's no longer a functional korban. So given that, if you have a chatat left over, that will go lekipa. It will not end up being utilized. The other hand, if you have the ola left over, then you do bring the ola on behalf of the woman. So now, here are two things to note. First of all, the Balei Tosafot notes something which is just interesting because we just finished this up in Hori Ot, that we have a rule that person always has to bring their chatat first and then their ola. We learned that principle that even chatat ha'of comes before olata veheima. Over here where the woman brought her ola then passed away, so it says here that the Yoshim can't bring her chatat. What do you mean the Yoshim can't bring her chatat? She can't bring her chatat because she got it backwards. She brought the Ola before the Chatat. She too has to restart the whole process, as if she brought no korbanot at all. The Bali Tosfot here note, they've tried to prove it from different places in Shas, that that is only a din l'chatchila. The chatchila, one has to bring the chatat first and then the olah, but bidyavad, if you brought the olah first and then the chatat, you would be yotze and you don't have to redo the whole series of korbanot. So that's number one. Number two is, Bali Tosfot question the underlying premise of this comparison. You have here a parallel being drawn by Rabbi Lazar between la'achar mita, after the death of an individual bringing a korban, against the case of shinui kodesh, whereby you're saying, just like la'achar mita, you bring the korban, even though it doesn't have any ritzui aspect to it. Also over here, if you have a case where it's not miratzeh, you should still bring the korban. And Tosfot says, v'im tomar mita mihani, how comparable are these cases? Lo alu, aval bayin la'achar mita, alu legamre, the same chovah. Our case over here is that it does not discharge any obligation whatsoever. The case that we have Shinui Kodesh. You say the Korban is brought, but it does absolutely nothing. On the other hand, if you look at the case of the Achar Mita, it is discharging an obligation. It is taking care of what otherwise would be the obligation of the Yorshim. And that is that you have two possibilities. If you believe Shibuda Doraita, if you believe a lien is a Torah-prescribed right, then the possessions of this individual were then encumbered to the necessity of bringing this korban. And when the Yorshim get it, they have to bring the korban to discharge that obligation because the woman was chayevet in an olah. And now when they do that, they're discharging her obligation to bring the olah from the assets or the possession of the woman. Even according to the one who says that Shibuda is labdo raita, im shni frish neem lachrayut. This is the answer Bali Tosfot gave yesterday's daf. That there is a case when you say Shibuda Lab Doraita, where you could still have an obligation to bring the Korban, because the individual took off two Korbanot. And they said, this is the Korban that I have to bring. If I fail to bring this, or something happens to it, I have a backup over here. So now, if the Yorshim bring that first Korban improperly, then that will obligate them to bring the second Korban. Because the second Korban was designated if the first one failed. Well, if they bring the first one, say, for instance, they were supposed to bring it as an olah, and they have a improper machshava, and therefore now they change it into something else, then it's no longer an olah, or a proper olah, and that means the equivalent of the olah getting lost or being discarded somehow, and then they have to bring the second korban. So now you see here that there is a discharging of obligation that is accomplished with the korban that is brought out harmita. So it's very different. It's actually exactly what Reish Lakish is asking. Which is Reish Lakish is saying, if it's not miratzeh, why bother bringing it? The answer is that the achar mita, it is miratzeh. Maybe not for the mate, but it helps out the yorshim and it discharges their obligation vis-a-vis the estate. And if they don't do this, they're going to be stuck in a position where they have to deal with the fact that they didn't discharge that obligation. So in the end he says, Yesh lamar, demakom makom dam yekzat lahadodi. They're still somewhat similar. They don't produce a full ritzui. This goes back to the core that we spoke about, that yes, here, they accomplish something when you bring it achar mita, but doesn't accomplish the primary purpose of the korban, which is ritzui and kapara, because there is no ritzui and kapara for the mate. And again, it's not an obligation to bring it after death. It is the fact that the person, while they were alive, was obligated to bring it. And now the Yorshim are bringing it because of that obligation that they had when they're alive. And it takes care of that obligation, but it doesn't deal with Ritzui and Kapara. And in that way, you have some sort of comparison between them. And then he asks, well then, why don't we compare this to any case in Kodoshim, where L'chatchilo, it is supposed to be something, Bidiavad, then you're Yotze. Then why don't we compare it to the case of Achar Mita? In the end, he says, there is some sort of dimyon. There's a common denominator between these, which is v'yesh lamar, the davka shinui kodesh, v'shinu balim davka, midami, it compares him to this, dahave ba'in la'achar mita, she'in lo balim. Similar to the case of a korban that is brought after death, where there is no owner. The owner is now absent from the korban. And similarly, shinui kodesh and shinui balim simulate the same effect. Which is kamo shalasham kasher ve'enu meratzeh kamo ken kan shashina oto mi balav. They took it away from its balim, but you ke'en lo balim. It's the equivalent of having no owners. That is when you do shunei kodesh and you change it from the korban that the individual was supposed to bring to something else. You're basically taking away the owner from the korban, because it's no longer the korban that he wanted to bring. And similarly, if you do shinui balim, you took it away from the owner. So in that way, the Baal Tosafot say there is common ground between these items. Again, they're not exactly alike, but enough alike that the Gemara is willing to make the comparison here, and only here, not in other cases. And that is because you're missing the balim, and you don't have ritzui or kapara for the balim. And so what Rabbi Elazar says is, we have precedence for the fact that you can bring a korban, even though it provides no ritzui and kapara, and it's still a good korban. Just like Nachamita, it's a good korban. So too, over here, we have Shinu Kodesh and Shinu Balim. It's a good korban, even though it's not Miratzeh, even though it provides no kapara. Amalei, Modina locha bo'ola, dalacha atila acharmita. I agree with you when it comes to an ola that you can bring after death, because of exactly what you're saying, which is, an ola is the type of voluntary offering that you could bring, irrespective of your obligation to bring an ola. You can bring an ola as a neder or a nidava. Asham, delo atila acharmita, minolan. What are you going to say about an asham? Nasham is an obligatory korban that cannot be brought on a voluntary basis. And if someone passes away, the asham is not brought after their death. Now, an asham has a different rule than a chatat. A chatat shemetu ba'aleha. The halacha lo shemisinai is it's the mita, that it's put to death. On the other hand, kol shebechatot metot, anything that by a chatat dies, be'asham yireh ad sheyistayv. An asham goes out to graze until it gets a mum in it. You redeem it, and then you bring an ola with it. So now here, by the asham, if the owner passed away, it's not going to be brought lachar mita. Yet, our Mishnah said that if you bring an asham shalo lishma, you still bring the korban, even though it doesn't discharge the obligation. Amarlei, arei machlokotka bitzido. He says, wait a minute. That distinction that you're making, that position that you're taking, we already have. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Av Hasham. That's in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer argues in the Mishnah and says, an Hasham should be no different than a Chatat. Just like a Chatat Shlo Lishma is no good, so too an Hasham Shlo Lishma is no good because they both can't come unless you are discharging a particular obligation. Amar, Zeu Shomrim Alav Adam Gadolhu? This is a guy that they say is an Adam Gadol? Meaning that he's saying this about Rabbi Elazar, who's been presented as being very stark, erudite, big gun, and now he's answering me in this manner. Kamina ana Mishnah Shlema. I'm asking a question on the entirety of the Mishnah, or basically on the Tanakhama. Vata Martli Rabbi Eliezer, and then you're telling me, yeah, you work well according to Rabbi Eliezer. I don't need to work with Rabbi Eliezer. I need to figure out why the Tanakhama believes otherwise. El Amarei Shlokish, Eftach ana Pitcha Lenafshai. I'll create a solution to the problem, or I'll open up the possibility of dealing with the issue. Again, I think it's a play on nedarim, where a petach leneder is a way to undermine the neder, or to give a person relief from the neder. So over here, when he says, eftach anat pitcha lenafshai, means I'm going to open up a possibility of dealing with my question. And the answer he brings is, motzat spatecha, hai nedava, neder hu, kidela el. Like we saw yesterday's daf, like we saw in the first daf, that motzat spatecha, pasuk that speaks about neder, and then closes with nidava. And the Gemara asks, if you're speaking about neder, how'd you end up with nidava? And the answer was, if you bring it properly, it's a neder. If you bring it improperly, it is a nidava. And so what Reish Lakish in the end is saying is that this is Igzeret HaKatuv that tells us that there is a possibility of bringing a korban that is not miratzeh, that does not bring kapara, and yet is still kashir to go on the mizbeach, and that there is such a concept or institution, and that comes out of this pasuk of motzas vatecha. So the Gemara says, Yotiv Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Yitzchak Ba'aba, Yotiv Abaye Gabayu. We're going to have a number of these situations over the daf. We have three individuals who are sitting together, and then there's one individual who is delineated separately, and based on the Rabbeinu Tam's principle, that means that the person who's delineated separately is going to be one who's going to bring the chiddush in each of these cases. So here you have Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Yitzchak Ba'aba, and Rabbi is sitting with them. They were sitting around and saying, Reish Lakish had a problem. Asham that Masham doesn't come after death, and therefore why should it be able to be brought when it's Shalo Lishma? And then Reish Lakish found himself a solution by the Pasuk of Motzas Fadecha. Ema, So now, based on his solution, you still have a problem. If you have it some a korban that comes as a neder, then you should be able to bring it, even though it's not miratzeh. Asham lo laiti klal. On the other hand, an asham should not be brought at all. So this, again, goes to your question, which is, there's a difference between an olah and an asham. We answer the question by saying, oh, motzas vatecha. The truth is, motzas vatecha is premised on the same reasoning, which is that you have items that you bring as a neder, and then if they don't work as a neder, you can bring them as a nidava. But that means that that whole parshia of korbanot that you took a neder to bring, that has to be seen by voluntary offerings. The only things that come as voluntary offerings are an olah and a shlamim. An asham never comes as a voluntary offering. So the precedent set by Motzas Fatecha is, if it doesn't work as a neder, it ends up as a nidava. That implies that it could have been brought as a neder in the first place. And an asham doesn't fit that. So an asham shouldn't work at all. Amar lehu Abaye. So again here, as we expected, Abaye is going to be the one who brings the chiddush or answers over here. So Abaye said to them, Resh Lakish mehocha potoch. Resh Lakish began with this pasuk, which is v'samach et yado al rosh ha-chatat, shachat of tod ha-chatat b'mkom asher yishchat et ha-ola. So here you have the korban chatat of the yachid, and it says that the person will do smicha on the chatat, shachat ota le-chatat. They will bring it as a chatat. Ota lishma k'shera, shalo lishma psula. Ota, this is a limit, this is a miut, that only a chatat has a requirement of being brought lishma. Nothing else has a requirement of being brought lishma. Meaning, otah lishma k'shera, if you bring the korban chatat for the proper purposes, then it is k'shera. Shalo lishma, psula. And then if you bring it improperly, it's going to be psula. Har, shor kodoshim, shalo lishman. Any other kodesh, any other korban that is brought, shalo lishma, k'sherim. Yochol, or yiratzu, you would think maybe they provide ritzui kapara. Tomalomar, Motza Svatecha. So then you have Motza Svatecha to teach you that even though it works, it doesn't work completely, it is not fully kasher. Ve'ema, using your setup now, Ababa Neder Nedava, Laiti Velo Lerze, that which comes as a Neder Nedava, which is governed by Motza Svatecha, so that will be brought and will not be successful at creating Ritzui or Kapara. Asham, Artsuri Nami Lerze. And Asham, on the other hand, which is not governed by Motza Svatecha, but is excluded from the miut of otah, it should not only be a good korban, it should be a good korban that is oleh l'shem chovah, that it can take care of whatever obligation or be provide the ritzui that it wants. Amar Abaye, asham demirtze lo matzi damar. There's no way that you can say an asham provides ritzui or kapara, kav mechomer meola, because you can learn that from the ola. Ma ola she'enem mechaperet, enem ratza, korban ola, which is not brought, in particular for providing kapara, there are instances where it is brought, but nevertheless, its primary purpose is not for kapara, ena meratza, and it is not able to provide ritzui. So despite the fact that it's not really trying to do anything, it's still not meratza. Asham shemechaper, enu din shenu meratza, and asham, which is for kapara, isn't it clearly going to fail to provide the ritzui? And even though there are some ashamot that don't come as kapara, like the asham nazir and the asham mitzora, nevertheless, the rove or overwhelming majority of ashamot come the kapara, and vice versa, the ola, the overwhelming majority of olot come not for kapara, they come as a voluntary offering or as a matana, even though it has aspects of kapara associated with it. Well, it says, well, how can you compare them? Mali ola shekein kalil. Ola goes fully on the Mizbeach. Maybe that's the reason it fails to be Miratzeh in this case. But an Asham that doesn't go fully on the Mizbeach, maybe it can't be Miratzeh. Shlamim yochichu. Shlamim can help you out in this case. So the Shlamim, again, which are also a Korban that can be brought as a Neder Nidava, so it's covered by Motzas Fatecha, and that means that if it was brought, it would not be Miratzeh. It would be Kasher, but not Miratzeh. So now, Mala Shlamim, Shekein to Unim. So what about Shlamim, which have unique aspects to them? Here, all the Rashi, the Bali Tosavot, note that you have to leave out the word Smicha over here, because an Asham also has a Smicha, but Shlamim are unique in the fact that they have Nisachim, Utnufat, Chazev, Veshok. They have these unique aspects to them, which is that they have a requirement to bring in Nesach, as well as a Minchat Nisachim, and the Tnufat, Chazev, Veshok, the wave offering of the Matnot Kuna. Ola tochiach. And then you have Ola. So then, Chazar Hadin. If you take the common denominator between Ola and Shlamim, each one of them has a Chumrah. That Chumrah would have said, maybe the reason it's not Meratzeh is because of this Chumrah. But then if you take the two of them together and take the common denominator to them, each one of them does not have the Chumrah that the other one has. That shows you or demonstrates to you that that Chumrah is not what's precipitating the problem over here. Lo Reizeh Kareizeh. The Chumrah of Ola does not apply by Shlamim. Lo Reizeh Kareizeh. The Chumrot of Shlamim do not apply to an Ola. Tzadah Shaveh Shaben, the common denominator between them is Shein Kodoshim. V'shachtan Shlo Lishman K'sherim V'im Ratzim. That they're Kodoshim. If you shach them Shlo Lishma, they're Kasher, but they're not Miratzeh. Avani Avi Hashem, Shu Kodesh. Hashem has the same character traits, which it is, it's Kodesh. V'shachato Shlo Lishmo. If you shecht it Shlo Lishmo, Kasher V'inu Miratzeh. It should be kasher and not provide bitsui. It says, wait a minute. There is a common denominator between Ola and Shlamim. Mala tzadah shaveh shaben shken yeshno b'tzibur. Wait a minute. Ola and Shlamim make cameo appearances in the tzibur. The truth is that Ola appears all the time as korban the tzibur. Shlamim only happened once a year, and that is the shalmei tzibur that are brought on Shavuot. But at least there is a manifestation b'tzibur of a korban Ola and a korban Shlamim. And Hashem is never brought by the tzibur. Now, just as a nice thought, the Ramban al Torah, heard Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein quote this, that the word Hashem is from the word Shmama, which means destruction or utter desolation. And so the reason that Hashem is not relevant to the tzibur is because we never have the concept of Shmama by the tzibur. An individual, and this is true of Karet as well, there is a concept of karet for the individual. There's no concept of karet for the entire nation. And the promise from Hashem that there is an eternal Klal Yisrael negates the possibility of there being karet for the tzibur as a klal. And same thing with Hashem. Hashem that derives from the word shmama is relevant to an individual, is not relevant to the tzibur as a klal. And again, even though there are manifestations of karet for the nation, which is they're thrown out of the land of Israel, which is karet at the national level, still karet in the conceptual level of being a cutting off of that line or that individual, that doesn't happen to the tzibur. And same thing with Hashem. Hashem doesn't appear in his tzibur because there's no shmama of the tzibur. So here you have no Hashem b'tzibur. That's a unique aspect of Ola and Shlamim. Maybe that's what makes it that they're not miratzeh, and Hashem could be miratzeh in that case. The truth is that there are certain olot that don't end up in the tzibur, like an olat ha'ov. On a broader perspective or scale, the concept of olah exists by tzibur, and the concept of shlamim exists by tzibur. Todah, tochiach. So then you have a todah as well. A todah is something that can be brought as a voluntary offering, and yet it does not appear in the tzibur. The shlamim appears in the tzibur, but the todah, as a subset of shlamim, never appears in the tzibur. Bali Tosfo point out, even though we find Nidvot, Olot, Bitzibur, like Kates Mizbeach, nevertheless we do not find the Shlamim that can be brought as a Nidvat Tzibur, and therefore obviously you can't have a Todah be manifest in the Tzibur, because there's no ever instruction to bring a Todah as a Tzibur, and you can't bring it voluntarily as a Tzibur, because there is no such concept as a Shlamim b'Nidvat Tzibur. And therefore, Todah Yitruchiach, Malu Todah, Shekein Tuna Lechem. Wait, Todah has a Chumrah to it, which is it requires the 40 Lechem that are brought along with the Todah. Ola u'Shlamim, Yochichu. But then you have the offsetting, Ola u'Shlamim, b'Chazar Adin. Again here, each item has something unique about it, but that can't be the cause of the Din here, because the other ones don't have that. And therefore, Lo Reizeh Kareizeh, the Chumrah of Todah, which is Lechem, the Chumrah of Shlamim and Ola, which are that they are brought b'Tzibur, as well as the fact that Ola is Kalil and Shlamim have Nisachim and Tnufa, all those are now offset by each other. The common denominator between all three of these korbanot is Shein Kodoshim, V'shachatan Shlo Lishman, Kasher Veinu Miratzeh, that they are Kodoshim. If you shech them Shlo Lishma, they're Kasher and they don't provide any Ritzui. Avani Avi Hashem, Shu Kodesh, V'shachato Shlo Lishmo, Kasher, and it is Kodesh. And if you shekel shalom lishmo, it'll be kasher ve'inu miratzeh. but will not have the ability to be right to a, wait a minute, there is a common denominator between Tota, Ula, and Shlamim is, Malatzar Shavishben, Shein Bayim, Beneder, Unidava. We're back to the fundamental problem here, which is that the common denominator between all these items is that they are allowed to be brought in a voluntary manner, whereas an Hashem cannot be brought in a voluntary manner. It's the same reason we thought it was excluded from the Pasuk of Motzas Fatecha, and now the same reason it, that Tzadah Shaveh is not going to help. Ela Amarova Zot HaTorah. The solution is the same solution we brought at the end of yesterday's daf, which is the Pasuk that brings that case between them, which is Zot HaTorah Lo'olah L'mincha L'chatat L'Hashem L'miluim U'Zevach HaShlamim. Puts together in one Pasuk all the different korbanot, which is Hekishu HaKatub L'Shlamim. It's a Hekesh to Shlamim. It's the same way that we learned about Lo Lishma yesterday, which is that the Shlamim was the paradigm. And then all the other korbanot were compared to a shlamim. Ma shlamim sheim kodoshim shachatan shlo lishman ksherim vein meratzim. Af ani avi asham shu kodesh, and I'll bring in asham as well. Now, what about the fact that an asham is different than shlamim, and it doesn't logically make sense to extend something from a shlamim to an asham? That Rashi answers in the top Rashi. Asham l'shlamim vein mishivim ala hekesh. A hekesh doesn't have to fulfill the dictates of logic. A kal v'chomer, a tzadah shaveh. All of those are logical arguments. In that case, anything that undermines the logic will cause it to fail. A hekesh is not functioning in through a logical extension. It's functioning because the pasuk put them together. And that means that irrespective or independent of whether it's logical or not, the pasuk says there is this connection between them. And therefore the pasuk here says, Shlamim and Hasham are put in the same pasuk. That means Hasham's going to look like a Shlamim for this din. Where it says, My chazit akash l'shlamim, akish l'chatat. Wait a minute. The pasuk contains all korbanot. It has a korban Shlamim in it. The pasuk also has a korban chatat in it. So how do you know to compare the Hasham to the Shlamim and not compare the Hasham to the chatat? Remember, a Shlamim shlo lishma is a kosher korban velo miratzeh. On the other hand, a chatat shlo lishma is lemita. So how do you know to compare the Hasham to the Shlamim and not to the chatat? Ha miyet rachmana ota. That's the answer. That's what the miut of shachat ota was, to teach you that this aspect of shlo lishma is uniquely associated with the chatat. Don't extrapolate from chatat to anything else. Or in essence, you have two paradigms of what happens to a korban that is brought lo lishma. One paradigm is shlamim, which says that it's brought, except that it doesn't create ritzoi. There's the other paradigm, which is chatat. Lo lishma is psulab. And now, how do you know which one is going to be the paradigm that dictates for the other korbanot? That's what the pasuk, which chatota, by the korban chatat, tells you. Chatat has its own din, not applicable to any other korban. That leaves you now only one paradigm, and that paradigm is shlamim. And since Hasham is compared to a shlamim, the Hasham will have the same din as the Shlamim. It means that it's kasher ve'enu miratzeh. Yotiv Rav Huna Rav Nachman ve'yotiv Rav Sheshet Gabayu. So again here you have a threesome. Rav Huna Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet, but Rav Sheshet is sitting by them. Ve'yatvei v'gamri. Kashalei the Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was troubled by the fact that an Hasham delola ati lachar mito, an Hasham which is not brought after death. So then how can you use Rabbi Lozer's precedent that teaches you that you can have somebody that's kosher, ve'enu miratzeh, because the Hasham doesn't have that. Le'malei, Rabbi Lozer, why doesn't Rabbi Lozer answer Reish Lakish and say, Hasham namiata le'achar mita? Wait a minute, Hasham is brought after the death of the individual. That is because a person who is supposed to bring an Hasham, has designated the Korban, has bring the Hasham and then passes away, the Hasham is yireh achi yistev. You put it out to graze until it gets a mum. And then you sell that, and with the proceeds, you bring a korban olah. So you see that an Hasham does have a manifestation l'achar mita, and it's clear that that manifestation is kasher ve'enu miratzeh, because you're bringing olah. You're not bringing an Hasham, so you're certainly not discharging the obligation. So you see that an Hasham does have a manifestation l'achar mita as well. So I'm a little upsheshet. Hasham l'may karev l'motro. What happens to an Hasham after the death of an individual? It's brought the motar. Motar means for excess or an extra ola, and that is the kates or kayitza mizbech, however you pronounce it, that it's going to be brought as a korban, but that is a motar. It's not going to be an asham. Problem with that is, chatad nami mikrav karva motra. A chatad has that same end game for it, which is a korban chatad can also be brought after the death of the individual. Now, obviously not in a case where the owner of the chatat passed away, because we already said that a chatat shemetu baleha is the mita, as opposed to an asham shemetu baleha, where it actually stayed, it goes to the ri'iyah. So now, where's the case, where's this situation in which a chatat is brought after the death of an individual? So Rashi explains over here, it's a case where he's mafrish shtei chatot. He's separated out two chatot, one as the primary korban, the second one as the backup for the primary korban. In that instance, the backup korban will be brought after the death of an individual. It will be put out to graze, and then when it gets a mum, you sell it, and you bring a korban olah with that korban that was designated to be the backup chatat. Because in the case where you bring the first chatat, the second one is here, achi yistaev, and then it's brought as an olah. So it's over here. If the Baalim brought the first chatat while they were still alive, and were mitchaper with the first chatat, then the second chatat that's hanging around is also going to be motar afterwards, and it's going to be brought after the death of the individual. So if you want to say that an asham can be brought after the death of an individual, it's not the asham, it's the motar of the asham, the residual of the asham, after it's monetized and then purchased in Allah, you have the same thing by a chatat. If that's the case, then a chatat too should be good, shelo lishma. That's not a good answer to be brought, because if that's the way you're going to get to an asham after mitah, in that same way you can get to a chatat b'achar mitah. Chatat, hafagav de korva motra, mit rachmanahu. Because the pasuk says, by the seir chatat of the nasi, samach yadol rosh ha-seir, v'shachat oto b'mkom ha-shei shkatat ola lifnei Hashem, chatat hu. Even though it's brought after mitah, the pasuk says, chatat hu. And that is a miut to tell you that it must be brought as a chatat. It is a chatat, and then it works. If it's not a chatat, it's brought shelo lishma, it's not going to work. And that's what the hu teaches you. Asham nami k'tiv bei hu. By the case of asham, it also says, asham hu. What we have here is Rav Sheshit is saying, Rabbi Elazar could have undermined Reish Lakish's question, or in essence, uphold Rabbi Elazar's answer. Lev's answer is, you're surprised by the fact that you have a kosher korban that's not meratzeh. I'll give you an example of that, the achar mitah. Reish Lakish challenged that and said, that's good for neder and nedavar, for olah shlamim. That's not true of an asham, because an asham is not brought the achar mitah. Rav Sheshit says, yes it is. A asham is brought after the mitah because you have the motar asham, which is the olah that is brought with the proceeds from the asham that was nitak teriyah after the individual passed away. The question then is, conceptually, you have the same thing by a chatat. A chatat that's left over after the mitah can also end up as a motar. So if you want to say now that that puts asham into the category of in korban that's brought the achar mitah and therefore should have the same thing as kosher v'lo meratzeh, so too over here by a chatat, it's brought the achar mitah, it should also be kosher and not meratzeh. To that we answer, chatat hu, there's a miut, that it is always a chatat, and you can't change that. So the Gemara says, well, you have the same thing by an asham, which is that it says, asham hu. Because it says in Parshat Tzav, Yiktir otam akoinam izbeicha yishev l'ashem, asham hu. So hu would be a miut, just like chatat hu is a miut. So the Gemara says, ha'ul achar haktarat emurim hu dichtiv. That hu, or that miut, is written too late in the process. And that is because the asham here, it speaks about that you have to torat asham. How you do that? B'mkom asher yishchatu et ha'olah yishchatu et asham v'et damo yizrok al mizbeach saviv, and all the other things that go on the mizbeach. B'yiktiru otam ha'kohen mizbeach yishel Hashem asham hu. So the hu there is associated with the haktarat emurim, the items that go on the mizbeach, as opposed to the chatat hu, which is said by the core essence of the chatat. And so therefore, there's a big difference. Because the chatat hu that's found by the Korban chatat is by the process of shchita. It's before the pasuk v'lakach ha'vein midam ha'chatat v'etzbo'o. V'natan al kornot ha'mizbach olah, v'damo yishpoch v'son mizbach olah. The hu was found in the primary aspects, the primary part of the bringing of the chatat. It's where you have the matnot dam. And that's why the hu there is a miut. On the other hand, the asham hu is found only after Haktarat Emurim, or by the Haktarat Emurim. And as we know, Haktarat Emurim itself is not Ma'akev the Korban. It's post the Zrikat Adam. You can no longer have a Machshava of Shinui Baalim or Shinui Kodesh, because you pass the Avodot that matter for that issue. You're ready, Miratzeh. The dam was on the Mizbeach. So the miut there is too late in the process to say that it's memayitet. And so therefore, you can't use that hu to be mayit Hashem. Kedetanya. Aval Hashem lo nirmer bar hu elalachar aktarat emurim hu atzmo. And that itself, im lo iktir emurim, kasher. If you didn't bring the emurim, it still would be a kasher korban. So you can't have a miut that is at a point in time or a part of the korban that tells you that this is a miut, that this doesn't work. What do you mean it doesn't work? If you don't bring them at all, it works. So how can you have a miut to say, oh, this doesn't work in a case of olishma? That's the way that the Gemara reads in its simple form. The Baal Tosafot suggests that there was actually a slightly different girsa in the Gemara, which had a vav chibur after vichatat, afagav de garva motra, miyit rachmanahu, and that's all a part of Rav Sheshet's statement, rather than a question on Rav Sheshet's position. And that is that chatat, afagav de karev motra, miyit rachmanahu, shlo tachshirena. And therefore, the same should have been true by the Asham. Even though its motra is brought, nevertheless, it should be precluded from the issue of Lishma. And that's why before we needed the pasuk of a Shachat Ota to teach you that's only true by a Chatat, not true by an Asham. And then the Gemara's continuation where it says, Asham namiktiv behu is not a question on Rav Sheshet, but rather an independent question. How can you claim that an Asham is not subject to the same rules as a Chatat based on Ota? Asham itself has the word Hu that appears there, and it should have the same din as the Chatat. So according to the simple way we read the Gemara has a question as to why Rabbi Lozer did not answer about the Asham. Rav Sheshet then says that same din would apply to a Chatat. The Gemara then said that's not true because Chatat has the word Hu. Rav Sheshet says Asham has Hu. And the Gemara rejects it and says the Hu by the Asham is different. But that means the original question still stands, which is, why is it that Rabbi Lazar didn't answer Reish Lakish, then Hashem comes lachar mita? Because according to the view of the Baal HaTosafot, Rav Sheshet is the one making the whole statement through, which is that we ask, why is it that Rabbi Lazar didn't say to him, Hashem is also the lachar mita? And then he says, because Chatat is also lachar mita, but that was precluded from the word who? And then we would have thought the same thing applies to an Asham. Just like the Chatat, Lachar Motra, is excluded from the word Hu. And Asham should have had that same status. That's what you need with Shachat Ota to teach you that only the Chatat is governed by that, not the Asham. But otherwise we would think that the leftover Asham is not enough to be considered an Asham Lachar Mita, because we'd have had the same din as a Chatat. So only the Gzeirat HaKatuv, Shachat Ota, that solves that problem. But that means that Rabbi Elozer could not say to Reish Lakish that an Asham is brought lachar mita, because that wouldn't have been enough to allow it to be brought, because we have an Chatat that's brought that way and it's excluded. And we would have thought that the Asham is the same had it not been for Shachat Ota. Then the Gemara goes on to say, well, how can you say Shachat Ota applies to a Chatat and not an Asham? Asham also has the word Hu and should preclude it as well. And that's a separate line of reasoning. But at least, according to that view in the Baal Tosafot, we answered the original question, which is, how come Rabbi Lazar didn't say to Reish Lakish, Hashem also comes lachar mita? The answer to that is because an Hashem coming after lachar mita should be similar to a Chatat coming after mita. Just like a Chatat lachar mita is precluded from the word who, Hashem should have been included in that, but there is a miut of Shachat Ota, and that's what allows Hashem to be brought, not the fact that it's brought lachar mita. And that's why Rabbi Lazar didn't answer in that way. Elahu lomali. So then what's the Asham Hu doing there? Kila Rabuna Marav. Dama Rabuna Marav, Asham Shini Takhtariya. An Asham that was put out to graze because it was no longer necessary. B'shachato stam. And then you shecht it without saying anything. Kasher. It is a kasher karban. That is because we assume now it is an Ola. The Gemara says, Nitak in, lo nitak lo. That's only true if it went out to graze. It was determined that it was no longer to be used for Hashem. Lo nitak, if it yet to be out to put out to graze, then if you shecht its stam, it won't work. My taima. Amar akrahu behavyato yehe. It says the word hu. Hu means, and we have this many times, it just hu means that it remains in the current status, or in other places we use it to mean me'akev. That means that it's now me'akev, whatever's going to happen. And so over here, Asham Hu means it remains an Asham by default. So that's the simple way to read the Gemara over here is that you have an Asham, and Asham remains an Asham as long as it is an Hashem. And that's what it means, who? Who means it remains, it won't change that status. Achinita. You have to take an action in order to change that default status of being an Hashem and make it into an Olah. That's Nitak Teriyah. So what the Gemara is saying is, the who says that it remains an Hashem as long as you haven't taken corrective action to make it into an Olah. Once you put it out to graze, Nitak Teriyah, that changes its status from being an Hashem to an Olah. At that point, when you shecht it stam, it'll be a kosher korban, because it'll be an Olah. But before that point in time, if you shechted it stam, it would be an Hashem, and Hashem can't be brought on a voluntary basis where it's not necessary, and therefore it'll be a problematic korban. So that's what the Hashem who comes to teach you. Now over here, the Baal Tosafot quote the Rabbeinu Tam, who disagrees fundamentally with this Gemara. This Gemara appears a number of times in Shas. You can see that in the Masorah of Shas. And the Gemara is quoted differently in each of these places. The main issue that the Rabbeinu Tam takes with this Gemara is, Mashmeocha de Nitak Teriyah Doraita. Sounds from here that going out to graze, if you put out to graze, is Doraita. B'teima, the B'sachim, Sovelu Dvarim, Mashma David Rabbonon. In the Gemara B'sachim, it sounds like Nitak Teriyah is a din derabonon. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam, lo goris ka nitak in lo nitak lo. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam races the girsa in our Gemara of nitak in lo nitak lo, which is what gives you the sense that that is a Torah principle from Hashem Hu, that the nitak can undermine it and it changes the status of the animal. But that would be problematic because we think that nitak teriyah is a din derabonon. Now, Rabbeinu Tam, when he takes it out of the girsa, it's not willy-nilly he takes it out, but the Gemara appears in a number of places. And in a number of those instances, this phrase is missing from the Gemara. It's not there. And the Rabbeinu Tam says, that's the right girsa, not to have nitak and lo nitak, because nitak and lo nitak are dinei derabana, not dinei deraita. And then he says, what does it mean then, Hashem Hu? How do you explain the Gemara? The Gemara sounds like Hashem Hu. It is default in Hashem until you change it into something else. That's what it sounds like. That's what it means, behaviato tehei. So by Rabbeinu Tam reads it just the opposite. He says, Balafarej Tama Lamu Kasher. He's coming to explain why it's kasher. Kevin to Gemiri to Basham Ro'eh. Since we have a halacha l'moshe misinai, that a chatat is meta, but an Hashem goes out to graze. Umafarej Mishum Dechtiv Hu. The Mashma Bahaviyato Yehei. Meaning that because it says Hu, that's why it's kasher. Perush Bahaviyato Mashis Sofoliot. It will take on the status and what it eventually will become. Dainu Olah. That is an Olah. Shesofo Omeid Lekach. That's what's going to happen to it. Kishistaid. When it gets a moment it, you're going to exchange it for an Olah. So what the Rabbeinu Tam says is just the opposite of what we thought the Gemara was saying. From the way that the Gemara reads simply and the way Rashi reads the Gemara, Hashem Hu tells you that it remains permanently in Hashem until you do something to alter that default status, which is Nitak Teriyah. Rabbeinu Tam says, that's not true. Nitak Teriyah is a din derabonon. So then, what does Hashem Hu mean? It means that as soon as an Hashem is no longer useful as an Hashem, it goes out then to grow at grace, which is the Lacha L'moshe Misinai, which is that it's Ro'eh Adji Yista Eiv, that it goes out to graze until it gets a moment. But the issue of Nitak is a din derabonon. You don't have to actively do that. You don't have to actively say. It happens automatically. And that's what it means, Hashem Hu. What happens to an Hashem when it's no longer useful? It's put out to graze, gets a moment's bride as an Olah. What is the status of an Hashem when it's no longer useful? Olah. Because that's what it's going to end up being in the end. Therefore, if you shecht it now, before it gets a moment in it, then the default is that you're shechting it as an Olah, and it'll be kasher. And so that's what the Hashem Hu is explaining. Why is it kasher as an Olah? Because that's the end game of the item, and Hashem Hu tells you that that's the purpose of an Hashem in the end. And that Hu tells you that it's already an Olah. But not because it was Nitak, but simply because it's no longer useful as an Hashem, and that's the end game. And so the Rabbeinu Tam reads the Gemara almost exact opposite of what would be simply come from the words of the Gemara, but obviously he eliminates parts of the wording here in order not to be a stirah, as to here sounding that Nitak is Doraita, whereas in other places it's Derabanan. But again, it matches up with the form of the Gemara in other instances where that phrase does not appear. The Baal Tosafot point out that the word Chatad Hu or Chatad Hi is used in a number of places to be a miut. And then he goes on to show that we have actually a different source for the fact that a chatat lo lishma is the psula. And so why is it that the Gemara brings two sources? So the Rabbeinu Chaim and the Baal Tosfot say we need two psukim, because there are two different types of chataot that can be problematic. And that is, you have a chatat, which is brought over an avera. The classic chatat, the paradigmatic chatat, is what's called chatat chelev. So here, if a person brings a chatat chelev, there are two things that can make it lo lishma. There's one possibility is that they think about it being an olah. They bring it to shem olah instead of a chatat. That's one type of lo lishma. He says there's also a different type of lo lishma, which is that you bring it as a chatat. Now, when you bring it as a different type of chatat, you can bring a chatat chelev as chatat dam, which we already established actually does not disqualify the chatat. But there's also a chatat chelev that can be brought as a chatat mitzora, chatat yoledet, or a chatat nazir. And there, you also have a problem. And that is, as we've noted before, those chatot are different than the chatat of chelev. Chatat chelev is brought over an avera, whereas the chatat of mitzora, the nazir, and the yoledet is more of a matir than it is brought over a sin. And therefore, it's also deemed to be shlo lishma. And that's what the Rabbeinu Chaim says, you need two mi'utin. One mi'ut to tell you that a chatat that's changed to an olah is psula, that's shlo lishma. There's also to tell you that a chatat that is changed from a chatat of chait to a chatat of matir, or as we said in the Baal Tosfot, a chitzaron, meaning that it's for a mitzora, nazir, yoledet, where it's not coming over a chait, that's also deemed to be lo lishma and is in psula. And that's why you need two mi'utim over here. Although the Rabbeinu Yitzchak offers a different view as to why you need two mi'udin. One is found by the Seir Chatat of the Nasi, and one of them is found by the regular Chatat, which is the Nekeva. And the reason you need two mi'udin is because the Motra, the extra Chatat that is brought, La'achar Mita, is different in these cases. In the case of the Seir Nasi, if he was Mafrish too, one La'achrayut, then the second one is a male, it's a Zachar. And it itself can be brought as an olah. And therefore you need a miut to tell you that even though it's brought la'achar mita, it itself is an olah, nevertheless, if it's done shelo lishma, it is psula. On the other hand, in the case of nekeva, it's yireh achi stay. That's put out to graze. Once it gets a mom, then you exchange it. And with those monies, then you bring an olah, because an olah doesn't come as a nekeva. So you need two different miutin. One to tell you that a korban nasi, which is a zakhar, cannot be brought shelo lishma. And the other one to tell you that a korban chatat nekeva also cannot be brought lo lishma. The Baal Tosfot would say, even though if you had the miud by the seir of the nasi, which is a zakhar, you should have been able to then extrapolate to the chatat nekeva, either way, kal v'chomer. Nevertheless, he said there must be some srichuta or some difference between them, and that's why you need two psukim. One to exclude the seer of the nasi, which is a zachar, from being lo lishma, as well as a chatat, nekeva, which can be brought achar mita as well, through yirat shistei, we have a miut for that as well. Okay, yatvei rav nachman, rav sheshet, rav yatvei rav adar bar matna gabayu. So once again here, we have three individuals sitting, and rav adar bar abba was sitting with them. We can expect now again that he's going to be the one who brings the chiddush here. Yatvei v'kamre, they said, Had the Kamer of Elazar Matzino b'bayin la'achar mita shen k'sherim ve'meratzim. Elazar says we have these korbanot that are brought la'achar mita, but they're not meratzes. That's a good paradigm or precedence for this. Lema le'rish lakish hanunami laitu v'lirtzu. Wait a minute, those korbanot also. Why don't they come and be meratzes? Meaning, who says that the korban that is brought la'achar mita of the individual is not meratzes? So Amar lahan Ravada bar Matna. Rav Adamaya says, what do you mean? Yoledet, imhi yalda, baneha mi yaldu. She's bringing the korban because she was a yoledet. Her children were not yoldim. They did not give birth. They're not the ones who have to bring a korban. So what type of ritzui are you speaking about? For the mate, it's clear there's no kapara, there's no ritzui. The suggestion here is that the urshim will gain the ritzui that was provided. The problem is that you have korbanot that are brought by the chayim that are not relevant to the urshim. So how can you claim that it's kasher umiratzeh? Now, even though there is a possibility of it being a daughter who gave birth, and there's a possibility that you could come up, but that's not the generic or general case. In most instances, the korban's going to end up with the yorshim, who don't have any requirement to bring such a korban. Matkifla Rav Asi, or the alternate gersa is Rav Ashi, uman leimelan, deika kama se gaba lo mitkapro. Who says that if this woman has a number of items that she is chayevet a korban olah for, that this olah would not discharge that obligation. So first of all, Rashi notes from the Torat Kohanim that an olah does provide a certain amount of kapara, and it says, v'nir tolo l'chaper. So it says that there is ritzoy, there is kapara by an olah, even though an olah is a voluntary offering, it's not brought for any particular violation. Nevertheless, in Torat Kohanim, it does, by process of elimination, figure out that there are certain things that we don't have korbanot for, or punishments for, and a korban olah provides that kapara. And those are for mitzvot asay, and mitzvot lav shenitak le'asay. A lav that can be rectified by doing an asay afterwards, or an asay, we have no korban, and we have no punishment that is met out in order to provide kapara. So that's what the Torat Kohanim says, v'nir tzalov, the ritzui, the kapara of a nolah, is for an asay and a lav shenitak le'asay. What Rav Asi or Rav Ashi is pointing out is, well, you have this woman who's bringing a chatat and an olah for her leida. So the chatat is clearly associated with the leida, whether it's really a chatat and a sin offering. As we discussed earlier, the Baal Tosfot say a chatat is something that's brought lechitzaron. It's a deficit. It's something that she is now prevented from entering into the kodesh or from inin kodoshim. The bringing of the chatat will eliminate that chitzaron, that deficit that she has. Either way, that's what the chatat deals with. The olah that she's bringing is an appendage to the chatat. It's an extra korban that she's bringing. When she brings the olah, who says that that olah won't also cover other violations that she has? The olah is not being brought to be mechaper for the leida. It's not being brought except for the fact that the Torah prescribes it, but can it function or have a dual function? Yeah, she's bringing it as an olah because she's a yoledet. But that olah should also then take care of some mitzvah that say, or lavani takla say that she violated. If that's the case, then your she'anami mechapre. Why can't her children get that same kapara? Just like the olah provides kapara for her on other violations, so too the olah should provide the kapara to the yorshim. So if that's the case, then you do find that it's kasher and meratzeh. So Gemara says, the memra, the kanyeluhu, you're making an assumption that the yorshim take possession of the animal, that it can provide them kapara, that they really become the owners of this korban that belonged to their parent. Vamar of Yochanan, heiniach mincha neshnei banav, someone who passed away and left over a mincha that he already designated and was makdish to be brought as a korban, mate, and then he dies, kreva vein bo shutafut. It can be brought on the mizbeach, but there is no partnership there. V'isakadachio kaniluhu. If you believe the Yorshim themselves are the inheritors of the Korban, and the Korban becomes their possession, Nefesh Acharon Rachmana, the Torah says Nefesh, Rashi says the word Nefesh that is written by the Mincha, which is the opening phrase for the Korbanot Mincha in Vayikra, which is Nefesh, Ki Tagrib Korban Mincha Lashem, Solot Yeh Korbano, Yitzhak Lashem, and Atan Aleh Lovana. Since it's written in Lashon Yachid, Nefesh, it comes to preclude the possibility of Shutafim, partners, bring a mincha. Partners can bring a korban be'ema and olah. Partners can bring a korban of of olah, but they cannot bring a mincha. So over here, if the yorshim inherit the mincha and becomes theirs, they are now partners in the mincha, because they are both partial owners of the mincha. Now you have a partnership owning the mincha, it would be a problem that they can't bring the mincha because they are shutafin, they are partners. So it must be that it's still in the possession of the parent and doesn't come down to the yorshim. That's the way Rashi learns. Balei Tosfot say that it's actually not learned out of the word nefesh, because from the word nefesh we learn that there's no such thing as a mincha tzibur. There's only a mincha of the yachid, not mincha of the tzibur. And the shutafim are learned out from the word korbano, which is nefesh ki takriv korban mincha l'ashem solot yeh korbano. Korbano means, in the singular, his korban, and not the korban of a shutaf. So you can't have shutafim. It's not learned out of the word nefesh, but rather korbano. And here the Baal Tosfot make a statement which they make in many places in Shas, which is many times the Gemara quotes a Pasuk, but doesn't quote you the relevant part of the Pasuk. It just quotes you the beginning of the Pasuk and expects you to know that it's in that Pasuk. So it says, V'nefesh ar marachmana, it's not quoting Nefesh as the limud, rather it's telling you the Pasuk that begins with Nefesh, in there is the limud that tells you no shutafin. But if that's the case, now you have a problem because you have Yorshin or Shutafin, if they were Mishutfut, they were in a partnership, they would not be able to bring the Mincha. So it must be that it remains with the parent. If it remains with the parent, how can they provide Kapara for the Yorshim? It says, "Velo kanyelo." Are you so certain they don't get possession of it? He leaves over an animal for his two children who mate, and then passes away. It is put on the mizbeach, but they can't do tmura in it. If you say they take full possession of it, I understand now why they can't create tmura. Because then they are partners. But it comes to the parsha of tmura, it is written completely the lashon yachid. And since it's written in the lashon yachid, only an individual owns a korban has the ability to create tmura. A partnership has no ability to create tmura because of the fact that it's written in lashon yachid. Tmura is the restriction against exchanging some of that's kodesh onto another item. You say, this korban or this animal that's an olah, I don't want it to be an olah, I want to move that kedusha and exchange it onto another animal. The Torah says you're not allowed to do that. But despite the fact that you're not allowed to do it, if you do it, you are successful at transferring the kedusha to the other animal, just unsuccessful at removing the kedusha from the current animal. That means if you have an olah and you say, I want to move the olah from this animal to that animal, then the original animal remains an olah and the new animal becomes an olah. But tmura can only be accomplished by an individual who owns a korban, not by partners that own a korban. Rabbi Yochanan says, children that inherit their father's korban, that they don't have the capacity to do tmura, that shows you that they're the owners of it. They are partners in it, and that's why tmura fails. If you believe that it stayed in the possession of the parent, then it would be a single owner, and that single owner, then you can have tmura by a single owner. So Eliyamart lo kanyelu, if they are not koneit, amure nami limru. They should have the capacity to create tmura. Tmura says, shani otam, it's different over there, damakra, imhamer yamir. If they go ahead and do the tmura, there are both et a yoresh. The government include a yoresh, echad memir, vein shnayim memirim. From that pasuk of hamer yamir, you learn, first of all, the extra lashon of hamer yamir, because it could have written im yamer, instead it says imhamer. So imhamer comes to teach you that yoresh can create tmura. So that's a ribuy in the pasuk. But in that same pasuk that tells you that yoresh is included, it also tells you echad memir vein shnayim memirim. One is memir, but not two. So therefore, the inclusion of the yoresh is under the qualification of that only one and not two can create tmura. So the answer in the end is maybe they are not koneit. Maybe it doesn't come into their possession. The reason they can't do tmura is because your shim, who have the right to do tmura, are governed by that principle that only one can do it, but not when there are multiple of them. And so when you have multiple yoshim, they're precluded from committing tmura, but it's not an indication of the fact that they are koneit, because our original assumption was, if they were koneit, they'd be shutafin. They're shutafin, they're precluded from doing tmura. Had they not inherited it, it would have remained in the possession of their father, be a single owner, and therefore they should have been able to do tmura, because we know yoshim can create tmura. The answer is, the same place you learn out that a yoresh can do tmura is also the same place you learn out that only an individual, not multiples. And therefore, the ability of the yoresh to create tmura is governed by the other qualification. Matki v'lai Rav Yaakov minar pakud. Ela mi'ato, if that's the case, gabi maser. If the individual comes to redeem his meisel sheni, he has to be mosif a chomesh on it. The rabot of the yoresh. To include someone, the goli gal is an extraneous language, and that duplication of the language comes to say that even though Meisel Sheni doesn't really belong to you, nevertheless, it passes to your child, and he becomes the owner, quote-unquote, of the Meisel Sheni, and when he redeems it, he's going to add on a chomesh because he becomes the party to it. Hachanami echad goel ben shnayim goalim. Are you going to then limit it again over there and say that only a single individual can, or a single yoresh, can do the redemption, but not multiple yoshim? Shiny Meiser, the Gabi Avon, Nami Ite Beshutafut. Wait a minute. The whole reason by the Yorshim and Tmura it fails is because, in general, Tmura doesn't have application by partners, only has application by individuals. So then, when you include Yoresh, it's governed by that qualification. Over here, by the case of Maser, if the owner was alive and they were partners, you can redeem it. So the redemption can be done by partners, and they'll be subject to the rules of owners doing this redemption, which means that they have to add on a chomesh They have to add on a fifth on top of it, which is really 25% of the principal amount, to create one-fifth afterwards. That could happen even when the father's alive, even when the original owners are there. It can be created through a partnership. So then when Imgo Yigael includes a Yoresh, the Yoresh is then governed by the normal principles of redemption of Maaser Sheni. And just like by Maaser Sheni, you have to add on a Chomesh if you're the owner. The Yoresh also, as a Yoresh, becomes the owner. And when he's included, it means whether it's one Yoresh or multiple Yoreshim, they're all deemed to be the owners. And when they redeem it, they have to add on a Chomesh. So I'm a Ravasi, the Ravashi, Omina. For the same reason, if you believe that they have a kinyan, hainu dechad mi ameimar. That's why one individual can do the tmura. Eliamar lo kanyalu, if you believe that the yorshim are not the real owners of the animal, then heichi meimar. How is it possible that he does tmura? Vama Rabbi Yavoh and Rabbi Yochanan, amakdish mosif chomesh. The person who consecrates the animal is deemed to be the owner of the animal. And that means that if he redeems it, it's true of Maaser Sheni as well, if he's the one who redeems it, he's going to have to add on a fifth. Umit kaper oset tmura. The person that is gaining the kapara through the animal, he can do tmura. He has the ability to do this exchange, which is illegal, but if he does it, it will be effective and leave this animal kadosh and the new animal kadosh. But that is the mit kaper. So in an instance where someone does a favor for his friend, it says, I'm makdish this animal, I'm segregating this animal out for your benefit to bring us a korban, then the makdish, the original owner, is the one, if he redeems it, has to add on a chomesh. The tmura cannot be created by the one who generated the tushan animal, but the one who's being provided the kapara by the animal. V'atorei mishalo al shal chaveiro. Someone who takes off shumot masrot from his produce on behalf of his friend, tola tana shalo. He has the right to then distribute the Trumot and Masrot to whomever he chooses. He gets to pick which Levi, which Kohen, whoever he wants to give it to. That's his prerogative. Since he's the one who's taking off the Trumot and Masrot on behalf of the other party, and he's doing that of his own possessions, he also gains the right to distribute it. And so that value of that Tovet Hanah belongs to him. So those are the three principles. But the one that's important to us is Tmura. Tmura can only be done by the person who is afforded the kapara by the animal. And so what in essence he's saying to him is, if the Yorshim own it, then they are the ones who mitkaper, who get the kapara from it. If they get the kapara, they can do tmura. Now then, if you believe it stays with the original owner, and they are just bringing it on behalf of the original owner, and they're getting no kapara, how is it possible that a Yoresh, even a single Yoresh, can create tmura? Because he's not getting kapara from it. The answer of the Gemara is, Mikivalo mechapra, mikufya mechapra. They don't get the major component of kapara. They only get the side benefit or the derivative benefit of kapara. The way that Rashi explains it over here, mikufya means something that floats on the top. It's like the foam on top of a soda or a beer, that it's something that floats on the top. It's some additional benefit that you get. So what it's saying is that when you bring the korban on behalf of the parents, the primary kapara accrues to the parent or the original owner. But they already passed away, and for them, there's no kapara. The children who bring it don't get that primary form of kapara, because it's not their korban, it's the korban of the parent. But what they are afforded is the kufya. They get some side benefit or some kapara by discharging the obligation that devolved upon their parent and bringing the korban like their parent had indicated. And even though, as the Balei Tosafot point out, in the Gemara in Tmura, it speaks about the korban par of the Kohen Gadol of Yom HaKippurim, where the par provides kapara to the Kohen Gadol. It also provides kapara to the other Kohanim. The Gemara in Tmura wants to know, do the other Kohanim have a right then to make it into Tmura because they get kapara from the animal? The Gemara there answers, it depends. If the par provides full kapara to the Kohanim, then they could do Tmura. On the other hand, if the primary kapara is given to the Kohen Gadol, and as a side benefit, as a kufya, then the Kohanim get their kapara as well, then they won't have a right to make it into tmura. So what you see from the Gemara in tmura is that kufya is not enough to give you the right to do tmura. So then why over here does the Gemara say that the kufya is enough to allow the Yorshim to do tmura? The answer is it depends on what's competing interest here. In the case of the power of the Kohen Gadol, you have the Kohen Gadol who's getting full kapara, and the other Kohanim that are getting this side benefit from it. They're also getting kapara, but it's mikupya. It's like a sidebar to the main kapara that's provided to the Kohen Gadol. But they're in competition with the Kohen Gadol who has full kapara, and they have this side kapara. Over here, that competition doesn't exist. Because the person who would have gotten the full kapara passed away already. So the only thing left is the kufya. The only thing left is that additional benefit. And when that's the only thing left, that becomes the mitzkaper. That person becomes the one who's getting the main kapara. It's a kapara kufya, but they're the only one there. There's nothing competing against that to be the owner for tmura. In this case, that's why they have a right to exchange it or to do tmura, even though they're only getting kufya kapara. So therefore, in the end, they are not really the owners of the korban, and that's why they can bring the mincha on behalf of their father, because it remains their father's mincha, and they do not become partners in the mincha. On the other hand, they do have the capacity to do tmura as long as they're only one of them and not multiples of them. And that's because tmura is predicated on kapara, and they do have some form of kapara in this korban, even if it's not direct kapara. They have some indirect or derivative kapara that makes them relevant to the korban and allows the tmura to be created if there is a single yoresh. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Amud Aleph.